Hey, everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I am your host, Rob Oliver, and today you are going to be smarter because you are learning from a smart person, and that smart person is Joe Balestrino. He is a podcaster, an entrepreneur, an author, a consultant. He is an expert in digital marketing, web design, SEO, pay-per-click, and just about anything else that you can do with your website. The really cool thing is this. His goal is to educate people so that they have a better understanding of what's going on for their website and how to make it work for them and for their business. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me here. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Let's do this. Let's kind of start with your backstory. Tell me about kind of where you came from and how you got to doing what you're doing today.
Sure. So way back in the late 1990s, I know I'm probably dating myself, but in the late 1990s, I taught myself web design and I started a web design business. And at the time, I was actually ranking for affordable web design. And I started getting business and clients. And one of the most common questions I got from clients was, how was I able to rank for such a competitive term? And at the time, I really didn't know. I didn't really know much about marketing. I just knew that, you know, we needed to have websites. And so I started learning more about how to market a website, and I started getting into SEO. And then back in the early 2000s, I started, you know, accumulating all of this knowledge, reading, testing on my own websites, on clients' websites, what was working and what wasn't working. And I started a community of where, you know, anyone interested in learning would come. I had a message board at the time, a podcast, I wrote articles, and it was just a place for people to come and learn. And before I knew it, I was running an agency just because I was sharing all of this content. And I found that educating people was really important, not just for my business, but to educate people in general, because even back then, it probably more so now, is that there's a lot of misinformation on the internet and people just don't know what to believe. And I feel like, you know, if I educate people and they understand, at the very least, they have the right knowledge, and then they can do whatever they feel, you know, they need to do with the knowledge they have. And so that's why I continue to do what I can to kind of educate people when it comes to, you know, SEO and paid search.
Got it. So, I mean, Joe, when I was, you know, 20 years ago, they can't put it on the internet if it's not true. Everything on the internet is true. And yet you are so right that, I mean, the problem, the beauty of the internet is everybody has the opportunity to contribute information. The detriment of the internet is that everybody has the opportunity to contribute information. And in a lot of ways, none of that information is not being vetted to see what's right and what's wrong. And I have to say this, that, you know, I'm sure that you've seen the cartoon that has a picture of two people standing and they're looking at a number. They're looking at it from opposite sides. And one of them says it's a 6 and the other one says it's a 9. And they're both right because that's what it looks like from their perspective. So there are multiple perspectives on how you can look at things, but sometimes people just don't have the right information. So what I wanted to talk to you a little bit about is kind of where you are today. And you're talking about search engine optimization and you're talking about paid advertisement. Now, can you help differentiate between those two? And is pay-per-click, is advertising a way of, in some ways, cheating at search engine optimization? Is it a way of, you know, doing a legal bribe to the search engine so that they put your stuff first? Or what's your view on that?
You know, it's funny, is as years, as search engines evolve, and search engines, we really mean Google. I mean, who uses anything else? Is Google has gotten smarter and it's starting to, you know, there's really three places in Google where you can rank, right? There's the paid ads, which show up on top. If you're a local business, then you see the map pack, which we call map pack, but it's a map listings. And then underneath that is organic. So whenever I speak to clients or potential clients or just people in general, I always, my philosophy is try to do all three if you can. Some people know what the ads are and they refuse to click an ad and therefore they bypass it and they go right to organic listings. Some people don't know the difference and they just click an ad because they think it's most relevant. So do I think it's, I think with back in the day when we used to do SEO, SEO is the natural listings. People think it's free and it's free to show up there, but unfortunately it's not free to rank there because there's a lot of work that goes behind getting to those first positions. But years ago when I first started in the industry, clients would come to me and they would say, Joe, I want to rank number one for this key phrase. And we would work real hard to do everything we could, you know, look at all the data, make all these recommendations and changes, and hopefully we get on the first three positions. But then sometimes when the client would get on the first page for the keyword, then the question was, well, why aren't we getting sales? And that was the aha moment where just because you rank for a keyword doesn't necessarily mean it's going to bring you business. And this is where paid search comes in, because with paid search, you can bid on any keywords you want within reason that are relevant to your service or your landing page, and you start collecting this data. And then you can see by that data which keywords are producing, you know, the most sales or the most leads for you. Now you have a plan. Now what I do nowadays is I look at the PPC performance of the Google ads and then see which keywords are producing, you know, good ROI for the client, and then create an SEO strategy around it, which now is much better. Because even I would say like maybe 12 years ago, I had a client who was in the yoga space and they sold yoga accessories. They had three different websites. They all sold exactly the same products. All the pricing was exactly the same. But the only thing that was different was the color scheme. And funny enough, like each site did better on different keywords. And you would think, oh, it's just the same product, same pricing. Nothing was different except the color. But some colors resonated better with other people. And that reflected in the keywords that were triggering the sales. So you can't, you know, what I've learned is you can't assume that you know what people want. And I can give another good example. I worked with a small local business who was a pressure washer company in Florida. They power wash roofs. And when I first, the client first came to me, I asked him, I said, can you tell me who your client is? You know, give me an idea of who your client is. And he told me, my clients are older people who can't get on a ladder, climb up and power wash the roof themselves. It's too dangerous for them. And those are my clients. And I took that in mind. And then I set up the campaign like I normally would. And I let it run because I've learned that data dictates what I should do. And after about 45 days, I looked at the data and I started digging deep into it and started looking at the age group, because Google now can give us that data. And I realized that the majority of the phone calls were people between the ages of 35 and 45. And so when I reached out to the client again, and we have our monthly meetings, I said, you know, how's business? And he's like, oh, business is great. It's picked up. Everything is doing well. And I said, I noticed that, you know, the demographic that is calling you is younger than what you stated. So are these clients still older generation? And he's like, yes, absolutely. And we had call tracking in place at the time. And so I was listening to the phone calls, and it was the actual children of the parents or the younger generation before that were calling for the parents. And so if I went by on what he told me, I would have totally ignored that demographic. I would have excluded that from being, you know, advertised on, and he would have missed out on a whole bunch of sales. And his business did so well that he actually sold it last month. So it's always good for me to understand like who the clientele is. But I always tell clients, let the data tell me what to do and make the decisions, and then I'll share that data with you. And then, you know, so you're informed as well, because I don't feel like any service provider, it's just like going to a doctor. If a doctor said you need surgery, you would still want to know why. And if I'm making changes in your account, I want you to understand why I'm making those changes, because that could influence your other forms of marketing. And I think it's important for you to know that as well.
it's such an interesting story that you share, because it, he had correctly identified who he performs the service for, but he had incorrectly identified who it was that was going to be buying the service. If that, is that an accurate statement?
Yep.
Okay. That's so interesting. Now, a lot of folks are doing a kind of DIY with PPC, and I feel like we're swimming in alphabet soup today, because we've got ROI and SEO and PPC and all of those things. But for folks that are trying to do it themselves, to do it in-house, what can you tell them? What kind of tips can you give? Because listen, as someone who has dabbled in paid search, it's a way you can lose a lot of money. You can spend a lot of money and get very little return on that. So what can you say about how to make sure that you're getting a good return and it's not just flushing money down the internet toilet?
Oh, there's so much I could possibly cover. So the most important thing that you need to do no matter what is making sure that you have accurate tracking. Tracking is what dictates what I do and what anyone will do in your account. If you have a phone number on your website, it needs to be tracked and it needs to report into Google Ads. If you have people filling out a form, you want to be able to track those leads. Don't put a phone number on your website that's not trackable. Don't put an email address on your website because it's not trackable. Because what's happening is, if you're bidding on a bunch of keywords, let's say you have, let's keep it simple, let's say you have 10 keywords in your account. Maybe two or three of them will produce good leads at a cheap cost, and the rest will generate no business for you or at a cost that's too expensive. But if you're not tracking, then you don't know. And so you're constantly spending money, and some weeks you'll do really well, some weeks you'll do really bad, and you won't know like which keywords are generating the business for you. And so you never get to improve. So tracking for me is really important, because if I'm tracking form fills, but I'm not tracking phone calls, and I look at the data after like say 30 days and I say, okay, these two keywords are producing leads at a cheap cost, but the rest are wasting money, and turn them off, then the client can come back to me and say, Joe, my phone stopped ringing. What happened? I won't know that the certain keywords are generating phone calls because we're not tracking them. Then I have to go back and turn on everything I turned off, but I still don't know what's producing those phone calls. So for the most important thing, if you don't have tracking, you're just throwing money and hoping it sticks somewhere. And that's not really the way to do it. So for me, tracking is like the most important metric you look at, because ideally, in an ideal world, when you start a PPC campaign, you're trying to figure out which keywords work. And every keyword you put in your account will generate hundreds, if not thousands, of variations on that keyword. So it's important to have that tracking, so we can make sure that, you know, whatever we show up for is relevant, and exclude things that aren't relevant. And so the tracking is important on that level. And the call tracking ties that, so I don't have any missing pieces there.
Real quick, just tell me what tools do you use for tracking? Because I understand the, like, the Google AdWords and the Facebook ads and all of those things, but there's another level that you're talking about with tracking. What services do you need for that, or how do you do the actual tracking of with a phone number, or, you know, any of the other? And maybe that's part of the question as well. Besides phone calls, you said emails can't really be tracked, but what is it? What are the things that can be tracked, and how do you do that?
So you can track. So there's two ways to track phone numbers. If you're doing a phone number extension in Google Ads, that just means if somebody's on a mobile device, they'll see the phone number. If they click the phone number, Google will record that as a lead. The phone tracking I'm talking about specifically is when someone comes to your website. So if somebody saw an ad, they clicked it on a desktop or a mobile device, and they went to your website. I use a service. There's many of them, but the one I use is called CallRail. And what CallRail does is you put in the phone number that's existing to your site, and you generate a JavaScript code. It's one line of code, and it goes onto your web page. And what happens is, every time somebody comes into your website from Google or whatever channel you want to track, the number changes based on whatever keyword was searched. So if you were selling dog collars and somebody Googled dog collars, and then they went to your website, the number would change. They wouldn't even know it changed. They would just see a number. And if they called that number, it would go seamlessly to your number. There's no pause. There's no, you know, please hold. It goes right to wherever you want it to go. But then it's being recorded as that keyword triggered an action. And in this case, is a call, and then it reports back into Google Ads as a conversion. So now I can see, if I break it out, how many phone calls we received based on the data provided by that third-party tool.
Okay. And then from that, I'm assuming that you can then also track sales and all of those things. And sometimes I'm imagining, this is just my imagination, but you know, there are certain keywords that may bring in tire kickers and other keywords that are going to bring in prospects that are ready to buy what you're selling immediately. Is that accurate, do you think?
Yeah, yes. And with Google Ads, you can see how long it takes somebody to make a purchase. So when they come to the website, they get cookied, and then I can show clients a graph. You know, maybe 80, 90% of people who come make a purchase in the first day, depending on the price of the item, right? If it's impulse buy, most of the time it'll be, you know, the same day, but you'll see over time, maybe 2-3 days later, there'll be some additional orders come in. If it's a higher ticket item and it takes some thought and some planning in whether or not to buy, people want to shop around, then it could take a few days or a few weeks before somebody decides to make that purchase. So it's, again, having that tracking and doing things like retargeting will help ensure like you're bringing people back to remind them that, hey, you looked at this product and you want to buy. And then what we typically do in Google Ads is if we're doing lead gen, we're looking at how much we're paying per lead. But when it comes to e-commerce, we look at what's called ROAS, which is return on advertising spend. And we look at that as we want to see how much are we spending per month versus how much we're generating in sales. We don't care necessarily how many sales we receive, but how much revenue did we generate from what we spent? And so a good baseline is a 1-to-3 ratio, where for every dollar you spend, you generate 3. But, you know, we always try to shoot higher, right? I have some clients that do 5, some ones do 7. I've had one client do 10. But that's the idea is to, because when it comes to things like shopping and e-commerce, 80% of your products, or I should say 20% of your products are going to bring in 80% of your business. And the rest of the products just going to be, you know, just they're not good for shopping, or they're just, they don't translate well because they're either super competitive, they're too priced too high. There could be a whole bunch of variables. But the idea is if you're tracking all of these products, when products reach a certain threshold where they're losing money or they're barely breaking even, you just pause them and you stop advertising. And the best thing about when you do something like that is if you have, let's say, a $10,000 budget and, you know, only, you know, there's half of it is going to products that are not producing a positive ROI. Once you turn those off, now you're funneling more money into the products that are generating business for you. And now you just increase revenue just by simply finding out what the winners and losers are, which is what I was trying to say earlier, where when you start a campaign, you typically spend more because you don't know what works. But as time goes by, you start, we call it fine tuning on what's working and what's not. And then you start generating more business or more leads for the same cost than you were when you were starting, because in the beginning, we don't really know. Like, you can think about all the possible ways somebody can search for your service or product. There's probably thousands of ways, but you're not going to be able to generate, you know, money on all of the ways people search. So monitoring and tracking all helps figure out what the winners and losers are of that.
Got it. So you're looking at ROAS. I grew up watching the Princess Bride movie, in which there was an ROUS, which was a rodent of unusual size, very different beast than what you were talking about. So you've been providing a lot of information for folks that may be trying to do this themselves and kind of what they should be looking at. For folks that have said, I've tried to do this myself and I decided it's better for me to hire somebody. I've got an agency that I'm working with. Do you have any advice for them?
Yeah, absolutely. Whenever you work with someone, you want to make sure that you're getting reports every month. And you just don't, you know, there's metrics that you should care about, and there's some metrics that are kind of distractions. A lot of people focus too much on how much am I paying per click. Frankly, you don't care really how much you're paying per click. You care how much you're paying per lead or how much you're paying per sale. You don't really necessarily care about how much you're paying per click or how many impressions you're receiving. You really want to know what is that translating to. And you want to see, ideally, you know, there may be some lulls. You may have some seasonality in some of your services or businesses. But ideally, you want to see your numbers growing. You want to see sales increasing. You want to see leads increasing over time. And you want to see your cost for those decrease. If you see a chart where, you know, your cost per lead is going up and the number of leads you're receiving is going down, something is wrong. And then you speak to the company managing your services and say, can you tell me what's going on? Why is this happening? Do you have any insight? What's your plan going forward? A lot of people, they just pay the money every month. They don't know what they're doing. Clients come to me, you know, I do audits on accounts every day. And, you know, I'll ask them, what does your agency say? I don't know. Or they're doing it themselves and they don't really know what they're doing. They don't know what metrics they look at. And they just think like, oh, I'm getting a lot of clicks. But then usually the next question is, I'm getting a lot of clicks, but I don't know why I'm getting sales. So clicks doesn't necessarily mean sales. I could decrease the number of clicks you're getting and increase the amount of sales you're getting just by going after the right keywords. So speaking and feeling you're working with somebody that you're a part of a team, and every client is different. Some clients want to know every little nuance that's going on, and some clients just want to get a report every month and they want to know that somebody's managing it, that if they have questions, they're being asked. And if you have a hard time getting hold of anyone who's managing your campaign, you don't know how your campaign is performing, you don't know what the plan is or what should go next, then it's probably time to start looking for someone else who's going to be able to actually spend the time to learn your business and also provide you insight that could help you with me, you know, giving you insight into an SEO strategy or a content strategy or anything else that could be valuable to you, like with the example with the power washing company, where knowing that the generation before is who's contacting you is valuable data.
Okay, so let me just, I think I understood this, okay, and tell me if my math is right on this. It's not just the cost per click, which is, that's step one. But then figuring how many clicks does it take to generate a lead? How many leads does it take to generate a sale? And then what is the profit that I'm getting for each sale? And then what you're basically doing is you work that math back. So if I'm thinking out loud here, I have a product, I sell the product for, and I make $50 for every time that I sell a product. Well, I need to make sure to use your math that I'm not spending $50 in clicks to generate the leads to get the sale, because then I'm not actually making any money. But for your math, I'm looking at, what is it, $16 or something in advertising cost to generate enough leads to generate one sale. Is my math right on that?
Right. And in the beginning, when you start your campaign, you're not going to know which keywords are going to do that for you. So in the beginning, you're going to spend a lot of money to uncover what those keywords are. And that's where a lot of people make a mistake, is they start with a budget of, I want to test the waters and I want to spend $10 a day. So here's the problem with $10 a day. If your budget is $10, $15, $20 a day, but your average cost per click is $5, $6, after a handful of clicks, you're done for the day. And so maybe you got 5 clicks today. Tomorrow you get another 5 clicks, but it's on 5 different keywords. And then the next day it runs again, and it runs at midnight. And by 4 o'clock in the morning, you're out of budget and your ads are not showing the rest of the day. What's the problem with that? The problem is that you're not giving enough budget to these keywords to run all day, or at least during business hours, if you're running a service-based business, to get the data. And so what happens is clients will say, Google Ads doesn't work for me because I tested it with, you know, $5, $10, $20 a day, and I just didn't get any business from it. It's because you didn't invest enough in it. And you don't need thousands of dollars to do it. There's ways that we can, you know, focus on one service or one product at a time to get good results and then move on. But if you shortchange yourself by just throwing a few bucks at it, you're not going to get the data you need to see what works and what doesn't work. And then people automatically think like it's a fail. My product or my service, you know, can't use Google Ads.
Got it. And I would imagine, though, that's got to be a little bit of a difficult sell because, you know, what you're saying to people is you're going to have to make a high initial investment that may not lead to the initial return that you're looking for, but the return comes down the road. It's delayed gratification. And I mean, here's my analogy, and you tell me what your gut reaction is to this. It's almost like you're paying for education, right? You're paying to learn what keywords work and which ones don't, so that you know how to move forward. So you're kind of it's the investment in learning to get you to where you need to be. How does that resonate with you?
Yeah, I think that's accurate because you need to uncover what works and what doesn't work. And yeah, it is an investment. So when customers come to me and they say, you know, I want to run an ads campaign and we estimate what a budget is. And think about it this way. Think about if when you do a Google Ads campaign, you need to think about how much is a customer worth to you, but not in this moment. What's the lifetime value of customer? If you tell me, oh, you know, a customer is $500 a month and the typical client stays 10 months, then you know, okay, I stand to make that much money. How much am I willing to get a lead? You know, how much is that worth to me to get a lead? So if you say I'm willing to spend, you know, the formula, you can take a formula where you can say, okay, I want to make X amount of dollars per month, which means I need X amount of leads because I already know for my business out of every 10 leads I get, half of those turn into clients. Now you have a formula that you can create and say, okay, now I'm willing to spend, even if you went on the basic level and just say, I'm willing to spend $5,000 a month because I know if I get one sale, I make my money back. And if I get two sales, I've doubled my revenue. Now it comes into more context of, you know, looking at it as the lifetime value. A lot of people I talk to, they just think of, oh, right now this client's going to hire me, and if I get this lead, it's $200. But I don't want to spend more than, you know, $15 to get the $200. But if the client stays a year, it's more than $200. So you kind of have to factor that in when you're you know, you're trying to manage expectations of what a good budget might look like.
I completely understand. And what you're saying is, in some ways, it's about building relationships with customers more than it is about creating initial sales. Listen, Joe Balestrino, you've been very helpful. You've given us a lot of information. If people want to learn more about you, where can they find you on the web, or what's the best way to do that?
That would be my website, Joe Balestrino. That's JoeBalestrino at JoeBalestrino.com.
Wonderful. I will absolutely put a link to that down in the show notes so that people can go there and check that out. You had mentioned about a free offer during our pre-interview. Tell me about that, please.
Right. So I'm willing to, I do free audits all the time, and I'm willing to, for your audience, if they contact me through my website and say that they heard me on the show, I'll do a free audit for them. And what that entails is I request access to the Google Ads account. I take a look at it. I put together a nice little short little presentation, and it just highlights where their account's doing really well and where it's doing really bad and things that they can do to improve it. And then they can take that documentation and do it themselves, or, you know, we can discuss working together. But the idea here is to give people an idea of how a campaign should be set up and structured. And if something's working really well, I'll be more than happy to point it out and say, do more of this. And if there's something that's eating up a lot of budget and wasting a lot of money, I'll point it out. And these are actionable items anybody can do themselves.
Wonderful. It's a very kind offer. I appreciate that. Joe, thank you for sharing. It is now time for three questions to establish your humanity. Are you ready for these, my friend?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What would be the title of your memoir? The Life of Joe, what would it be called?
The Life of Joe. It would be it's so hard. I would just say a winding road to success, I would say.
That is a beautiful thing. I love it. What would you call the perfect date, as in perfect calendar date of the year? If you could pick one day and say, this would be the ideal day for me to enjoy, which date would that be?
Well, I would have to say, since I'm about to turn 50 on my birthday this year, I would say that date.
Oh, so what's your birthday, Joe?
November 12th.
All right, well, I hope that you enjoy November 12th to the fullest. Just for my personal, where are you located?
I'm in New Jersey.
Okay. I thought that I recognized that New Jersey, New York-ish accent. So you and I are right around the same latitude. I'm in Pittsburgh. So November 12th, it has the ability to be like one of those beautiful 70-degree days that we get occasionally in the fall, or the likelihood is that you can get snow flurries and it can be absolutely miserable. But wherever it, yeah, whatever the weather is, I hope you have an enjoyable day. All right.
I appreciate it.
No problem. Last question for you is, as we go into fall, and what is your favorite food of the fall season?
Oh, man. I really enjoy, I would say s'mores and hot chocolate.
You know,
sitting out on the deck when it's fall with the leaves changing and just having some hot chocolate.
You know, there is nothing wrong with that answer at all. Phenomenal. I think my brother-in-law found like peanut butter flavored marshmallows, so that you add like another layer of interest into the whole s'mores thing. Although the way to cheat on that is he also sometimes will make his s'mores with Reese's peanut butter cups instead of the chocolate, and it gives it a whole different dynamic. But I digress, and I'm starting to make myself drool thinking about the delightfulness of s'mores. Joe Balestrino, thank you so much for being here today. I appreciate you sharing your information. You are indeed a smart person. For all of my listeners, thank you for being here. If you have enjoyed the podcast, I'd appreciate you sharing it with your friends and family, someone that you think might benefit from it. If you would be willing to leave a review on iTunes, we would appreciate that also. In the meantime, I will remind you that when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.